If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. Our first part of the program is our Odyssey Evergreen series, the discussion this week about tech layoffs in the WNBA.
I'm Dennis Foley. The WNBA has become the hot league across the country with one new team, the Golden State Valkyries, making its inaugural campaign this year, and five more new teams planned over the next few years. Odyssey News reporter Holly Kwan spoke with WNBA analyst and former Sacramento Monarchs head coach Mary Murphy about what we're seeing from the league.
Yeah, I think the acceleration has been incredibly dramatic over the last couple of years. I mean, keep in mind that there are two new franchises that will be joining the WNBA next season, and that's the Toronto Tempo, who will be the first team in Canada. And I don't know if our listeners know this, but Canada is a huge, huge basketball country. They just love it, expecting great things from Toronto. And then Portland's going to get a team as well. And we all know the kind of success that the college teams, Oregon State and Oregon, have had in the state of Oregon. So excited for both of those teams. And then the expansion today just exploded, you know, in the WNBA with teams being added in Cleveland, Detroit, and Philly. It won't be immediate. It's in 2028, 2029, and 2030. But just remarkable, Holly, that we're talking about in 2030, you know, what this league's going to look like. It's kind of mind-boggling, really.
You want to grow a league smart, and you want to grow these teams smart. But, you know, you can't deny that there are so many people out there, at least, like, for instance, wearing Valkyrie's gear. And it's one thing for a team to be successful and grow their fan base. It's another for the entire league to do that. And I'm wondering, what does this mean for, you know, opportunities for athletes and competitive wages?
Well, I think when you just even look down the road at when these teams will be joining the WNBA, the young women that are in high school right now are the ones that will be drafted into, you know, during those years. So what it means is that the level of the talent in this country, starting in, even much younger, but into high school, the programs, the AAU programs, the college programs, has just accelerated at such a dramatic speed that the competitiveness of the league, and you know, you talked about the Bay Area, everyone's wearing the violet and is behind the Valkyries, and they've really made a nice blueprint of what a terrific expansion team can be. And you know, the investment that Joe Lacob made is interesting. He paid, I think, $50 million for his expansion team, and these three teams had to pay $250 million to get into the WNBA. So in a few short years, that's the explosion that has happened on the financial end. And I think it speaks very, very, it sends a resounding message when the ownership of you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Detroit Pistons, and the Philadelphia 76ers all want to be a part of this. It's a very, very strong statement about their cities and the support for women's professional basketball, and that, you know, people don't do this for charity. They do this to make money, and they do this to provide entertainment, and that those ownership groups feel like this is worth that kind of investment really is a statement unto itself.
That's WNBA analyst Mary Murphy speaking with Odyssey News reporter Holly Kwan. Now, that investment often comes with an expectation of some sort of financial return. Sportico recently said the Valkyries, the newest WNBA team, is worth $500 million. That's the highest valuation of any pro women's sports team. It's also nearly double what the average WNBA team is worth. Odyssey News reporter Steve Scott asked University of California Berkeley women's sports expert Bonnie Morris about what this means for women's sports.
I think the valuation of the Valkyries just shows how much can happen when you have several generations moving toward recognition and visibility of women's sports. It's a fantastic hallmark. I think a lot of people are just waking up to the importance of women's sports, but they are also looking for something that is positive, successful, motivating and inspiring in these tough times, and they have found that right here in their backyard. But it's the culmination of so many decades of hard work by coaches, administrators, players, lawyers, everybody who has really tried to push women's sports to the forefront.
Why the Valkyries? Why not, say, the New York Liberty in New York City, the defending WNBA champions, or the Indiana Fever with Caitlin Clark? Why the Valkyries?
I think that's a great question. The new kid on the block, everybody likes the shiny penny. But there's also, I think, in this region, just tremendous support and excitement. You have a huge foundation of women's activism here in the Bay Area. You have a very highly educated population. You have a whole lot of people who have been advocates and lawyers for women's rights. You have a naturally active outdoors, you know, athletic population because of our pleasant climate most of the time. And you also have a whole lot of people who are graduates of sports programs or whatever kind of activism around women's sports. So you have the perfect audience. And you have a whole lot of money from Silicon Valley and tech startups and people who really are looking to invest in their daughters or in the future of women and girls sports. And so you have that sort of perfect coming together of all of those variables. I also think, though, the players are really good. Everyone is so excited. And with the momentum, there's a real, you know, financial support.
The Valkyries are doing things that no expansion team has ever done. They have a winning record at this point of the season, which is amazing. They've sold out seven straight games at Chase Center. Can we expect this team to keep growing? $500 million today, who knows what tomorrow? Is the Bay Area the right place for a team like this to thrive?
Yeah, I really think it is. I think it's the perfect addition. I think it's what a lot of people have been looking for. There have been so many people who've been waiting for a women's team. There's been a lot of support for women's soccer, obviously. There's also, you know, a long tradition of Olympians coming from this area. We also have, you know, the first ever women's collegiate basketball game was played between Stanford and UC Berkeley back in the 1890s. And so there's the history in the region, and there's also, I think, a lot of media focus on women power, the importance of validating female strength. You have all kinds of growth of, you know, a new women's sports bar, demand for more media coverage of women's games, lots and lots of high schools that are actually adapting women's sports history. And I've gone around and spoken at a number of schools. Boys and girls clubs that are really focusing on, you know, training for girls and bringing in coaches to talk about the potential of playing pro. So, yes, this is the right time and the right place, the right moment, and I think the enthusiasm breeds enthusiasm.
That's women's sports expert Bonnie Morris speaking with our Steve Scott. So what has it been like as a fan? Odyssey News reporter Randy Domalik has been to a few Golden State Valkyries games so far this season. They play at Chase Center, which is also home to the NBA's Golden State Warriors. So, Randy, what's the comparison been like in terms of vibe?
Yeah, no, Chase Center is absolutely packed every time I've been. I've probably seen 7 or 8 of the team's 10 home games now. They've had 10 straight sellouts since opening night, their inaugural home opener. And it's, I mean, the energy is incredible. I mean, I'm not sure I've actually been in a crowd that's that excited. You know, I've never seen a team have its inaugural season and kind of be there every step of the way. But even just looking through videos on my phone from Warriors games and Valkyries games, you know, you take your phone out to record some of the big shots or the big plays in the fourth quarter. And I mean, it's just a real difference. It's a decibel difference. I don't have the exact number, but yeah, the crowd is super into the game and they have a great time.
What's your hope? As someone who has seen these games now, who has, you know, been, you know, in the Valkyries environment so far, you know, for year 3, 4, 5, where, hey, maybe there's a chance, you know, they may have a great season, they may have a bad season. What do you hope for the team as a fan here in the Bay Area and someone who's, you know, paying attention to the broader sports market?
Totally. Yeah, well, in terms of, you know, the winning aspects from the fan standpoint, I know that Joe Lacob, who's involved with the ownership group, has promised a championship in the first 5 years, similar to the way he promised a championship when he took over the Warriors ownership group. So, I mean, from that perspective, of course, we want to see them go deep in the playoffs and have a great run, be the upset team, and then eventually, hopefully, the established, competitive, you know, year-to-year playoff team. But off the court, I mean, I just want them to continue being involved in the community. I think that they've made some very individual efforts, you know, that maybe the Warriors would not have done particularly or maybe wouldn't have taken advantage of in the same way. So I think that they're equipped in a special way to, you know, reach the communities in a way that the other teams can't.
What should people who haven't gone to a WNBA game expect when they go?
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of the times the sports game going population maybe gets a bad rap of, you know, it's the people getting, you know, rowdy in the bleachers. It's the people who are, you know, fighting and just screaming at the opposing players and, you know, yelling jeers and that type of thing. I think that what the Valkyries have kind of illuminated for me is the more positive and community oriented aspect of fandom and of just being a sports fan in general. Like I said, that's their inaugural season, so it's almost like found money. Any type of success they have is gravy on top of them just existing, you know? But yeah, that's kind of what I would say is that, you know, it's not going to be the kind of, I don't know, I've been to Dodgers-Giants games where you hear things I can't repeat, and I haven't heard those similar things at Valkyries games. And, you know, even when they're booing opposing players at the free throw line, it's a very loud boo, but then it's, you know, they're is not the kind of vitriol I would say you might see involved in other sports. I definitely anticipated, you know, the positivity. I thought that it would be a great energy and it even exceeded expectations. What I think a lot of people weren't expecting was an actual competitive team, not a knock on the roster or the coaching staff or anything like that with the organization, but just historically, you know, franchise expansion teams, especially in the WNBA, often take a long time to find any measure of success. So at the time of recording, I think they're 1 or 2 games above 500, which is amazing, I would say, for a first-year team that has been together a matter of months. And yeah, I think that's been the most surprising part in terms of their early season success. What hasn't surprised me is, like I said, the embrace by the fans. You know, I didn't think that it would be, oh, there's, you know, this little sister, little sibling dynamic to the big Warriors team, the championship teams, and, you know, the kind of golden era of Bay Area sports almost that we've had extended since the 2010s, since the Giants were winning their championships, the Warriors, the Niners got really close. I think that the Valkyries are, you know, being embraced and woven into that fabric in a really, really embraced in an interesting way.
How does WNBA fit into your mental landscape of professional sports?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that, you know, for all the different sports we follow here between basketball, baseball, all of that, I just in terms of the 12-month calendar, I see it as we have basketball year-round now. You know, through the summer, the WNBA season starting pretty much at the conclusion or, you know, the start of in the middle of the NBA playoffs. So, you know, by then, the NBA season has, you know, gone on for its 82 games. You've gotten through maybe a round or two of the playoffs. And it is kind of a palate cleanser in a way where it's, you know, this new, fresh teams. It's the season is starting. I would say I'd actually mention that one aspect of watching the Valkyries play that you don't necessarily get watching the NBA and the Warriors is the Eurobasket departures. So during the WNBA season, the big pro women's league in Europe, Eurobasket, has its national competition. So you'll see players leave and play for Belgium and Germany and Spain and all of these powerhouse teams that, you know, in their absence creates opportunities for the lesser proven players. So almost in a way where you'd see a two-way contract in the NBA or a 10-day contract type of thing where you're called up from a minor league team and you kind of get they take a flyer on you. That's one aspect of the WNBA season that I'm getting used to as a fan and, you know, watching the players leave for 2 weeks and come back or compete even against each other, you know, on the other teams and then come back and play for the same teams here. I know it's created some drama with the, you know, departures of some of the players who, you know, go back and they come back and they're no longer with the team. So it's just, you know, we love the drama in the sports world and it's another source of it. So, yeah, it's exciting.
That's Odyssey News producer Randy Dumalig. I'm Dennis Foley.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
2025 has been a hard year for workers in the tech industry, with tens of thousands of them losing their jobs. What's happening here? I'm Megan Goldsby, and I asked CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur to put these layoffs in perspective.
It's definitely hard to say whether or not this is the worst, but it is bad. And part of what's made it bad is that we still see these companies growing, right? We still see them succeeding on many levels, unlike, for example, during the dot-com bust in, you know, the early 2000s, where a lot of companies started disappearing. This time around, you've got these companies continuing to grow, continuing to get funding, but refusing to hire more people. And so in a lot of ways, it almost feels more disheartening because of that.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. We could even see, you know, boarded up storefronts, which I know sounds weird for a dot-com, but I remember that around 2000, you'd see a dot-com, you'd see things boarded up, that sort of thing. But now we're all using our phones, our apps just as much as ever, but people are losing their jobs.
Really fascinating about this time around is that back in the early 2000s, you had people who were essentially, these companies were struggling to make a profit. They were going, you know, IPO, but they weren't really strong companies. This time around, you've got these companies that are pulling in massive profits. And the real kind of issue that they're all facing is, okay, well, you know, what is the future of this job market, right? If these companies are succeeding and the answer is not that they need more money or they need more profits, then what is it going to be about the future of job hiring? And, you know, a lot of people look and say, well, AI is playing a big role here. And there's quite a debate going on about whether AI is stealing jobs away, whether it's cutting out the bottom rung of the ladder, all of these types of things. But it's hard not to hear companies like Google say, you know, a large percentage of their code is now written by AI, and then not think, well, how has that reduced their hiring? Of course it has.
It seems sometimes like tech workers have innovated themselves out of jobs. When we look at AI, when we look at how easy it is to work from home now, meaning people can work anywhere in the country, is that an issue?
I don't know whether or not that in particular has been an issue. And the reason why is that in the latest job market reports that we get from the government, one of the things we see is that other industries are still hiring tech people. And so in a lot of ways, that would argue that these tech people who've left California or gone to other parts of the country or whatever, that they are still somehow finding jobs in other industries. Part of what I think is interesting is that we're at a time when the tech industry is not in a bubble burst, at least at the moment it doesn't feel like that. And yet still, it's a hard job market. And I think that cognitive dissonance is why this continues to be a conversation. Whereas if, you know, a lot of the tech companies were struggling to make their profits or going through layoffs and we saw the finance industry hiring a bunch of tech people or we saw whatever else, that would make a lot more sense.
Now, it hasn't been on for years, so my references are old, but the show Silicon Valley had a character who would go to work and just have nothing to do, would just end up sitting there getting paid all day. Sometimes I wonder if that situation, not working in tech myself, was that real? Were there just too many people that were hired when everyone was so excited and gangbusters about getting the companies going?
I'm sure that there were some people that way. And the only reason I say that is because there was a trend a few years ago of people on TikTok basically talking about how they had these super easy jobs in tech where it was basically that. Now, maybe they were lying. But, you know, there was definitely a sense that at least some people had kind of hit the payload and were not really working that hard after. And so, you know, when the first round of tech layoffs happened, it seemed, okay, you know, they're cutting fat. But what's continued to go on is that, you know, as these layoffs have gotten into their second, third, fourth cycles, the question really has turned into, you know, are they fundamentally reshaping the employee base, right? Google at one point said they're going to hire a lot more in AI. Are they changing the way that their sales teams work? All of these types of things. And so, yes, I have to imagine that the lazy coder stereotype is probably not happening anymore. But instead now, what you have is all of this interesting conversation around, you know, do people really do their jobs or do they rely on an AI to do it? And, you know, are they trying to pass off their work, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, I made this code, but actually the AI did it. And so it's interesting how these conversations change and keep going in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they just keep evolving. Yeah, I'm sure those lazy coders wouldn't want to be advertising that on TikTok right now with all of these layoffs going on if they do exist. So then maybe the jobs aren't as easy. There aren't as many of them. Do you know if people are still going into tech? Is this still an industry that younger people want to be a part of?
Oh, it's definitely a popular industry. And part of it comes from the fact that, you know, there's still that rags to riches story about tech that people see. I mean, the some of the richest people in the world at the moment are tech people still. I think also that we see a lot of capital flowing into AI startups, right? And so there's even kind of a pipeline of people being able to find their way into tech. But the challenge is that at least some of the data is showing that some of those jobs that would have gotten people a foot in the door with the larger tech companies are going away. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that's going to evolve over time. At one point, the tech industry, a lot of hiring happened through what we called acqui-hires, right? Where the company, a big company like Google or Meta, would buy a smaller company. And really what they were doing is buying the team and hiring the whole team from that company. And so that may be where things end up going. You know, part of the interesting thing about these cycles is that these tech companies oftentimes are criticized for not coming up with enough good ideas. The truth, of course, is that oftentimes they end up buying a good idea and nurturing it the way it needs to be. That's how Apple's software turned out to be the way it was. It was a company called Next that Steve Jobs had helped to fund and found, and Apple bought it at the time that they were able to integrate it into everything. And now it's behind the iPhone and the Mac. So there are examples where this is going to work out, but it's still disheartening to see, you know, that it's a lot harder to get a job at somewhere like Meta or Google, particularly because these companies have also advertised themselves as being such worker-friendly companies, right? And that whole tide seems to have changed as well.
Yeah, I have friends that have worked there, and that's kind of the draw is, you know, you pick your own hours, work from home, that sort of thing. Do you think that being able to be choosy like that, is that gone for now? Could it come back for these workers?
It definitely seems to be gone on some level, and part of it is because of the pandemic and really the response to the pandemic, right? When a lot of us went home and worked from home, we saw, you know, some of these companies saw some of their highest profits ever. And the CEO said, well, we still were not convinced that people are working well when they're remote or when they're at home. And so they started pushing people back into the office, and it became a culture war. And, you know, it's pretty clear that over time, remote and hybrid work are going to be what the future is. And most people seem to agree on that. But at the moment, you know, you've got companies that have multi-billion dollar headquarters like Apple, but also others that are saying to their employees, no, you need to be in the office regularly. You need to, you know, for whatever reasons, and they're not supporting that. And so on some level, that's helping solve this too, right? Because if you're not interested in moving to Silicon Valley, which is not a cheap place to live, and or you want to have that flexibility because you have a family, or you got used to it during the pandemic, or you just don't want to commute anymore, then you're going to just naturally select yourself out. right? And even the tech industry at one point, tech CEOs were saying that was part of the goal, right? It was a strategy that pulling people back into the office was going to help them with attrition and laying people off because people were just going to leave. They weren't going to put up with it. And sure enough, a lot of people did.
Now, what about workers coming from farther away? What about the tech visas and the current administration? Are we seeing anything with that as far as who's staying and going and layoffs?
You know, it's that type of data is still really hard to indicate. And part of the reason is because it's still so new, right? I do have a lot of anecdotal stories that I have heard and spoken with people about individually where, you know, maybe their H-1B has expired or they lost their job and they're terrified. And that is really tough. And by the way, those stories existed before. Right. Anyone who is an immigrant on a visa working here knows how stressful it can be that your home is not really your home. At any moment, it could not be your home. And that stress doesn't go away or get worse just because of changing politics. What's interesting is that Trump and his administration have effectively started going after the entire programs and saying that these entire programs can't be allowed to continue. And if they follow through, right, in however way they might, that is going to ultimately start showing up in some of this data. But I haven't seen anything significant yet.
There's been a lot of talk about how Hollywood may someday not be the center of film if you know, California regulations or whatever you think might be to blame for filming moving outside the state. Do you see a world in which Silicon Valley is not the center of innovation for tech?
There's always been a conversation about whether or not Silicon Valley will be upended or changed or whatever, right? There, in New York, there's Silicon Alley, I remember. Right. And in Miami, it's Silicon Beach. And in Arizona, it was Silicon Desert. I mean, everyone's got a Silicon something, it seems. But the interesting thing about it is that despite all of these efforts to really grow patches of the tech industry, the energy and the momentum still seems to revolve around California. And part of that is because of the venture capital people, right? I mean, you've still got all of that money flowing through. You also have the networks of people who know one another, who help one another find jobs. They help find each other co-founders, whatever else. That is something that is still very strong in California. What I do see increasingly, though, is that there are larger communities of people doing tech things outside of California. So it's not so much that California is shrinking, but rather that these nascent efforts are growing. And part of it, by the way, is because of the tech companies themselves. Apple, Tesla, a bunch of Microsoft, Dell, they all are investing in Texas, for example. Oracle literally moved their headquarters. And so in some ways, that is playing a part. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be just like the other end of this conversation, right? The question of whether or not we can ever manufacture an iPhone in the United States. The whole conversation starts coming down to how are supply chains built and, you know, where are these parts kind of being not just manufactured, but then shipped, and how are the supply lines set up and all of that. That is what determines, in part, whether or not you can build an iPhone in America. Similarly here, Silicon Valley's kind of tech hubbiness really comes from the both the pipeline of people, but then also the churn that exists within Silicon Valley. And that's not going to just go away anytime soon. It's going to be something that, if it ever changes, it'll be something rather slow.
That was CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur, and I'm Megan Goldsby.
All Our guest today on Better Living is Executive Director Todd Marvin of My Possibilities, talking about the amazing work they do with adults and kids who have intellectual and or developmental disabilities. Todd, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, most definitely. We absolutely love My Possibilities over here. As a matter of fact, you jumped on board to be the executive director, about a couple of years ago, and I know it's been a success and all systems go. Can you talk about how you finally got involved and to take it to the next level as executive director?
Yeah, well, thanks. It's been about a year and a half in now with My Possibilities. I started January 2024 and learned very quickly what a special place that it is. And I'm honored to be able to work with the folks, particularly the hipsters.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
We call our folks hipsters here. They're hugely important people. And that's been the term that we've used for them in all 17 years that My Possibilities has been here. But, you know, the opportunity to serve our hipsters is so tremendous, both in the area of teaching them independent living skills, in employment skills, helping them find jobs, residential services, helping them find housing. And, you know, we have more hipsters showing up on the front door every day. But last year, 2024, we served more hipsters than any year in our 17-year history. So we've got a terrific track record here. And I think the hipsters tell the story the best as far as My Possibilities goes. But I've got to know all of them. We have about close to 600 hipsters on our 16-acre campus here every week at My Possibilities. And they keep things lively every day.
Oh, I bet. I bet. And I love the fact that, you know, it's been around for so long. And again, a lot of people have hipsters in their families. We're talking about, you know, adults with IDD, intellectual and developmental disabilities, and they all can do so many things and they just need the opportunity. And I'm glad that My Possibilities has always been there. And I'm also glad that over the years, the campus has grown and the staff has grown, the volunteers. Can you talk about all the different things that the hipsters can do at the campuses?
Yeah, it's an amazing place. It's 16 acres here right off the President George Bush Tollway in Plano, across the road from UT Dallas. And it is one of the busiest places in Plano. We go 24/7 here at our campus with our hipsters, both during the day with all of the services that we provide that I mentioned before, but we also have a lot of what we call hipster life activities.
Right.
So we plan parties every month. We have a beautiful cafeteria that we actually rent out to the community for different events and parties from time to time. But every month we host a hipster dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we turn our cafeteria into a dance floor. And we have a couple hundred hipsters that come and shake a leg with us once a month.
Todd, I got to slow you down. And I'm grinning over here because I went to a My Possibilities gala a few years ago. And
yeah.
I was told ahead of time, the hipsters love to dance. They like to do a lot of things and they work hard, but they really love to dance. And they do. I mean, they just go all out. It's always impressive and amazing. They have such a great time.
Yeah. You know, I've been in nonprofit work. This is my 32nd year. And this is the first job I can honestly say where part of the other duties is assigned is dancing.
Yeah.
I've never had a job that's required me to dance. And I must say that has been probably my biggest struggle since coming to My Possibilities is getting my dance skills caught up to where the hipsters are.
Oh, yeah. They'll call you out. If you're not up to speed, they will call you out. That's amazing. We're talking to Todd Marvin. He's the executive director of My Possibilities and the hipsters, of course. And the hipsters also work hard. I mentioned they play hard and the different things that they can do. But the fact that a lot of people, I say they're sleeping on this. They're not paying attention if they're not thinking about adding hipsters to their employment staff. Can you talk about some of the opportunities that the hipsters have been able to enjoy thanks to their educational skills at My Possibilities?
Yeah, you know, about 60 days before I started in end of 2023, we actually cut the ribbon on a big 30,000 square foot new space here on our campus called the Employment Innovation School.
Wow.
And it's powered by Bread Financial is our sponsor that helped to make that happen. But the Employment Innovation School launched, and that really is My Possibilities getting serious about building up employable skills with every hipster that has the opportunity to find employment. We're going to be the engine behind that, that helps train them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they graduate, we actually just about three Saturdays ago, we had our second graduation ceremony for, we had 17 hipsters that graduated 3 weeks ago from the Employment Innovation School.
Excellent.
And we give them skills, and we have an administrative track, a retail track, a culinary. We teach culinary skills.
Mm-hmm.
We have a facilities track that they can go through, and it's not just a check off the box and give you a ribbon at the end of the time. They pass tests. They are OSHA certified and go through the same OSHA certification tests that everyone else goes through to achieve that. And then we have a team of job coaches then that once they graduate from the school, we turn them loose on North Texas and go about finding them jobs. And then we help them keep those jobs. So it is amazing. I'm glad you mentioned about how they just need, you know, sometimes just a little help here and there to really open up a world of opportunity for them. And so we're just that little that little glimmer of help that they need to get them on their way. And it is amazing to see some of our hipsters and the jobs that they get and how they not only show up for work every day, but they actually thrive in those jobs.
Yes, they do.
Hipsters that work for local companies, local stores. You know, a lot of folks, I think, just think of a person with a disability as, you know, someone that might bag your groceries or clean the floors or things like that. And we certainly have job opportunities that are absolutely appropriate and suitable for that type of work. But we do so much more also. They work in local banks.
Yep.
We have hipsters that work in local companies and that work in all types of areas of industry. And so we're just here to help promote the fact that, you know, that these guys are ready to do the work. And by the way, when they get a job, you will never find a more committed, dedicated, spirited employee than one of our hipsters.
Yes, that's they got two character traits that if you're a business owner right now, small business or large corporate person that's happened to listen to the show, they have a couple of characteristic traits that you don't find in other employees, which is they are extremely loyal and they work very hard because they're putting their name on this. Whatever the assignment you've given them, they want to do the best job possible, so they always give it 100%. Am I wrong?
No, you are 100% right. And, you know, we see that even when they go through the school. They even take, you know, the type of work that they want to get into very seriously.
Yes.
I was in a meeting with several hipsters in the school a couple of weeks ago, and we have one hipster who has unequivocally, absolutely decided that it is his life mission to go work at Love Field. And he wants a job at Love Field. And we were with a group of volunteers, some corporate leaders that were in the room. And it was awesome to see him. He literally went around the room to each and every one of these corporate leaders and asked them if they knew anybody that worked at Love Field, because that's where he wanted to go.
Yeah.
He was on there mission. Was no beating around the bush.
Yeah, he's on a mission. I'll tell you something. See, a lot of people, like I said, they kind of take for granted how sharp these hipsters are, or they just kind of assume. And I say this I'm going to give you a personal example. So I'm at this one, My Possibilities Gala, and they asked me to co-MC a live auction. Now, you have the auctioneer, and he's doing, he's looking around the room, and I'm telling all the different, you know, people who are, you know, bidding on these items, you know, don't scratch your head or you might get, you know, you that might be your bid, right? Because this auctioneer's like, I see $100, $400, what? He's doing all that, and the room is just all electric, and there's, you know, a couple of tables with some hipsters on it, and one of the hipsters raised their hand up, and the auctioneer, oh, yeah, I see $400. And so I went over there a little bit later. I said, hey, be careful about raising your hands up because you've got to mean it. After the auction was over, the hipster confronted me and said, I have the money.
I was like, okay.
I said, they're raising the money for you, though. He goes, I wanted the item.
I was like, okay.
So get it right. They are very, very sharp. Very, very sharp.
They are. Yeah. You know how they feel all the time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is terrific. You know, absolutely love what I do here at My Possibilities. You know, I have an office here. It's got a big window on it. But one of the things that we do here on campus is we operate what we call the mobile cafe. Mm-hmm. And so one of our culinary classes, the hipsters bake all sorts of food, baked goods and salads. And it's pretty amazing what they put together. And then they put it on a big cart and they roll it around the building and they sell to employees, visitors, okay. other hipsters. They mm-hmm. sell the food to people here on campus. And so it's such a joy as I'm, you know, sitting here nose deep in memos and business and emails and inboxes twice a day, once in the morning and once in the afternoon. We have two different classes that they run. Whatever I'm doing, there's a group of about 10 to 15 hipsters that show up right outside the window of my office and start knocking on the glass because they're not just walking around passively hoping somebody might take interest in their baked goods. It's a hard sell.
Exactly. They are working it.
They're going to shake down everybody mm-hmm. in the building if that's what it takes to sell a lemon scone with lemon curd sauce, which is what I bought yesterday. Yeah, and it was delicious. It's amazing what they bake.
Exactly. We're talking with the executive director, Todd Marvin, of My Possibilities, and he's talking about the amazing work and things that the hipsters do. And I know you've got some projects coming up over the next few months. Are there a couple of things you can enlighten us on? What you guys are up to? Because it's always exciting to hear.
Yeah, you know, would love to. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about us that way. You know, the thing we've been working on all summer is we are building a My Possibilities sports complex.
What? Hold on, wait a minute. Yeah. Slow down. You say what? We're talking Texas. We're talking about Dallas, Fort Worth, North Texas. People love sports down here. Sports complex?
Oh, yeah. It's and we talked about, is it really a complex or is it just sports? No, we're all in on the sports complex. So it involves, we've relocated our soccer field. We had a soccer field on a different part of our property. It was kind of tucked away in the back. Mm-hmm. And we've relocated it right up next to the George Bush Tollway here where we're at. With our big lights, we have a lighted field. Mm-hmm. Worked with the city of Plano. They helped to fund fencing that goes all the way around the field because obviously we don't want hipsters out on the George Bush Tollway shagging soccer balls.
For real.
So, it'll be fenced in. We've been working with FC Dallas. They have been incredibly generous. Jimmy Smith, the mm-hmm. COO up there, has been a terrific partner. Brooke Leverett, who runs their foundation, connected us with the FC Dallas head grass guy. I'm not sure what the official job title is for a head grass guy, but the guy knows how to grow grass, I can tell you that.
Yeah, they take care of all the lawns and, you know, like you said, like a golf course. It's pristine. Yeah.
He's got 27 fields that he operates.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Gates up in Frisco. Ooh. And now 28, because he's been our grass partner here for our field. So we've got the grass that has gone in. The fences are going up right now. The lights are installed. Then we worked with the Jordan Spieth Foundation, provided a generous gift.
Speaking of golf,
to put in a putting green. So we have a beautiful putting green.
Nice.
We have a family member of one of our hipsters that funded a bocce ball court.
Mm-hmm.
So we have bocce ball. And then we put in beautiful two full court basketball courts next to the putting green and the bocce court. So we're excited about it.
It is a complex.
I think that
qualifies, man.
Yeah. Whatever the definition of complex is, I can tell you building it, it's been complex. So that is all that matters. But we'll cut the ribbon on that probably in the next month or so. And we're excited about it because it also gives us the opportunity. It's right outside our door here in our building to incorporate a lot of programming that we do with the hipsters,
mm-hmm.
Not only indoors, but it gives us a chance to get them outdoors more and to do some independent living courses out there for them. We are incredibly active in Special Olympics, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're planning on hosting a lot of Special Olympics activities out there. And then we have an FC Dallas soccer league that we're now in the third year of. And so in the spring and the fall, every Saturday morning, we have hundreds of people out there. And it's an inclusive league, by the way. We have typically developing folks alongside hipsters out there playing soccer every Saturday morning through the spring and fall with the help of FC Dallas. So It's been terrific to see us to take that part of the My Possibilities experience for hipsters and kick it up several notches.
I'm always impressed with what My Possibilities does. And a lot of people who hear it are hearing your conversation. They're probably wondering, okay, I've got a hipster in my family. How mm-hmm. can I get my hipster enrolled over there? Or what does it take? What are some of the qualifications?
Well, all it takes is for them to hop in their car and walk through our front door.
Get out of here.
We have no waiting list. And so we have an admissions team mm-hmm. That works with folks to do. There are some assessments to figure out what kind of programming is appropriate. We serve adults at all different levels, from low to high, everything in between. Mm-hmm. We're here to serve. And so we don't want to be the organization that just serves those people. We are the organization that serves all people.
Are there age limits?
Well, we start whenever a person with IDD is out of high school.
Okay.
If they've left high school, then that's where we step in and where we start. So the age range right now of hipsters of our 650 or so that we serve goes anywhere from 18 years of age. Our oldest hipster is 72.
Get out of here.
Yep.
That's
yep.
great.
We run the gamut, literally.
That is great. And like you said, there's a lot of training involved. There's a lot of education and it's a variety of educational opportunities there. Can you talk about how maybe some of the employment opportunities have evolved since the pandemic? And I'm saying this because when I talk to different, you know, organizations, different nonprofits in particular, and corporations, they always talk about the pivot or things that they learned during the pandemic that created the opportunities or technological advances that they're able to utilize because during the pandemic, you had to be even more creative. Can you talk mm-hmm. about, you know, some of the opportunities that are available now for hipsters? And maybe it's because, you know, in some corporate world, you know, you don't have to work at the job. You can work from home, and that might open up a door for some hipsters.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, technology has been such an enabler of so many things for, mm-hmm. you know, the last couple of decades. And I think one of the things that the pandemic did was to really show how people with disabilities with the right technological task can perform things actually at a higher level than some of their typically developing peers. Because what I think that has illuminated for a lot of employers is that what our folks really excel at are highly repetitive tasks. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that a lot of other folks it's so repetitive they just find boring,
right?
And they lose interest over time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case with a lot of the hipsters that are appropriate for those jobs. And so I think it's opened up. We've had conversations with employers. You know, I'll name one because I think that they're well known in the disability employment space here in North Texas and beyond at this point. But JPMorgan Chase has been a terrific partner. Had ongoing conversations with them about mm-hmm. How we can begin to teach technological tasks that can lead to employment opportunities that can help hipsters that have transportation barriers overcome those barriers to employment and still earn a paycheck. You know, Bank of America has been one of the leaders in North Texas for employment of people with disabilities. And actually the executive at Bank of America that helped to start that program several years ago is working with us right now as we're launching what we're calling the Employ Network. And essentially it's an effort that we're rolling out later this year to help meet any employer that has an interest in inclusive hiring, wherever they might be, to help them bring that to life. So
that's great.
If it's a company that's looking to hire one person, if it's a company that has an interest in multiple positions, multiple skill sets, We have an employment innovation school here where we can teach to those skill sets specifically for an employer that wants to embrace inclusive hiring. There's a lot of things that we can do to help bring what I think pre-pandemic might have been just a nice thought to actual reality for a lot of people with disabilities that could do a job incredibly well if given the chance. We want to be that link between the business that has an initial interest in hiring them and the people that actually that can actually do the work.
Oh, you said that so well, and my mind was just whirling because when you said that there's a skill set that a lot of hipsters have, which is they can handle jobs that are repetitive, that some people might find boring or monotonous. That's a thing that they kind of like, they're really, really good at, and they enjoy it. And it reminded me, I talked to a tech person who said that a lot of tech support people, they have a skill set where they look forward to solving the problem. In other words, let's say, you know, you buy a new phone, you've got a new cell phone, Todd, and you don't want to have to figure out how these apps work, and it's frustrating to you, but you call up tech support and they say, hey, and they got the pleasant voice, and but they look forward to helping you solve your problem. That's that's a mental or a skill set that a lot of people don't have the patience for. So I'm thinking about, you know, the hipsters, and I'm like, you know what? Their skill sets are something else that people may not enjoy doing, or they get bored with it after a while because, okay, I've done that. And they go, no, I can do this really good, and I can do it over and over again, and I can do it better the next time. I just love the way if you think outside the box, you might find some of your best employees ever.
Mm. Oh, yeah. We have hipsters that work different places that win Employee of the Year award every year.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
I can totally believe it because they're focused.
Yep. And they love what they do. Mm-hmm. And it shows every day that they show up.
And I think they're appreciative of the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. They're culture drivers.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And you know, it's interesting to think about, you know, where we are right now in terms of, as a society, our awareness about what the capabilities of people with IDD can do. You know, it wasn't barely a generation ago that if you had a child with a disability, you drove them to the local institution.
Yeah,
and, you know, they were parking lotted there.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's what, you know, society, we didn't really have the capability technologically or from a mindset perspective to know, you know, how to change enough to accommodate what would be needed to help our folks live independent lives. At this point, you know, that doesn't happen so much anymore. I think we've started to understand that, you know, if we just change this one practice,
mm-hmm.
if we just, you know, in some cases, you know, it's a matter of if we make a desk, a height that a person in a wheelchair mm-hmm. can work out of. Sometimes it's just that small of an accommodation that can open up a world of employment opportunity for a lot of folks. And I think, you know, we do the hard work every day of kind of turning those light bulbs on with employers and businesses in this community every day. And I think we're starting to see the flywheel spin a little bit faster every year where people are saying, wow, you know, this actually is not, we're not doing this just because it's a nice thing to do. It's not warm and fuzzy and a give back to the community. This actually meets a real business need.
Exactly.
That we have never been able to figure out until now.
Exactly. It actually can make you more efficient and you didn't even think about it. Guess what?
Yeah.
That's a lot of corporations, a lot of businesses, small businesses as well. They want to be efficient. And it also made my mind whirl a little bit and say, you know what? Sometimes the jobs that, you know, major corporations might have someone overseas doing, operating from home overseas, wherever that country might be, that opportunity could be handled right here by a hipster. That mm-hmm. same operator, that same person that has that skill set, all they needed was just the opportunity to talk about that company online or whatever it is, but they don't have to be overseas to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
They could be a hipster.
And, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, I love to see those light bulbs come on because, you know, if we just walked a hipster to the front door and said, okay, go do your interview and good luck, you know, it doesn't go well because, you know, they don't necessarily interview as well as some people do.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. Yep. I know what you're saying. Yep.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause they don't fit that traditional mold that we have been trained over decades in corporate America and in business world to look for. You're not going to find that all the time.
He is the executive director of My Possibilities, Todd Marvin. Can you give us more information where people can find out more about My Possibilities online and maybe peruse your fine work?
Yeah. So we have a website and it's got all of our programs, all of everything right there to it. It's mypossibilities.org. And I will also say, too, that, you know, we are right here in the community. If we do tours of our campus and of our building, whether you have a potential future hipster you're interested in or not, we actually have corporate employee groups that come. We have about 80 to 100 companies that send teams of employees over to work with hipsters, to tour, to understand what we're doing. It's actually a terrific team building opportunity that we can help companies get involved with as well too. So if you go to mypossibilities.org, you can schedule a time with our admissions team. If you have a future hipster, if you're a company that wants to get connected to the work we're doing and get your employees involved in the work that we're doing, you can get connected to we call them Days of Inclusion. With our Days of Inclusion team, they can schedule a time for your company to come out and do some fun activities with hipsters and learn what we're up to. There's a lot of ways to get involved. We've got volunteers we look for our soccer league in the spring and the summer that people can volunteer for. As I mentioned, they can play the games as well if they want to play with the hipsters during the games. They're actually quite good. Then that's an opportunity. So we have a multitude of ways that people can connect with My Possibilities and understand more about our mission and our impact here in North Texas.
Fantastic. Hey, thank you, Todd. And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Wow!
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.